Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you calm Brad's heart and that you you speak through him and that he'd have a confidence in his words, in his speech, and through this unnatural medium that is Zoom. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We hope to honor you and revere you, and we hope to be moved by your spirit through Brad's words. And so may you be praised. Amen.
Awesome. Hey, I know normally everybody's asked to you know, turn their video off. I'm asking you to leave it on if you're willing. I'll just kind of swipe through every now and again and see who's on and just say hi to you. It's just easier for me to actually talk to you faces, not just kind of like blink. But if you need to mute your video and stuff, no worries. I'm also going to be doing something a little bit different today in how we do a portion of it. So we're going to invite you guys to join us in kind of reading the scriptures together in a spot. So we're going to see how that goes. And I just want to invite you to just do our best and it'll be good. I know the result will be good. I just don't know how, technically, if there's, we're trying something a little bit new in that. And in that also, we're probably going to go a little bit longer than we've been going. Again, if you need to check out or if you got someplace you got to be, I know some of you guys need to catch a train or an airplane. So feel free to go, if you have to. But I do think so far, even if we stopped right now, I think we've had such a full service. It's just been really neat to worship together, pray together. And yes, we've already had the ministry of the word. And so it's just about, by the way, ministry of fellowship has already taken place. So that's really cool. But I wanted to let you know about some news. There is this thing called, I want to say it's called COVID-19. Have you guys heard of this? It's like this thing that's all over the world. It's running, rampant, really. It's just everywhere. And one of the things that I was thinking about with this thing that you know better than I do is this thing is causing a lot of life change. And at the beginning of it, and even still now, I feel like in Orange County, I feel there's like this little bubble. I know that some of you guys know people intimately that have been impacted by this. In a negative, their health, they've either died from it or they've got sick. Some people have recovered, so that's all pretty cool in that sense that they've recovered. It is difficult, like who has it, who doesn't have it. They've found out that it's, you can have it, you don't even know it. You might even have a small cough or something, but some people don't even have any evidence that they've had it, and yet they pass it on to somebody, and somebody that they passed it on to was adversely, greatly affected by it. Of course, it's causing us to be able to be in together, in your houses. Some of you guys, it's causing you to be alone in your houses. Some of you are getting to know the cat. Some of you guys are trying to figure out, like what has already been shared, just how challenging it is to be a Christian and be this close with your family with this few of distractions that are going on. There's some good things that are coming out of this. Some people are getting creative. As you can see, my daughter, my 9-year-old daughter, has cut my hair. She has done a fantastic job. She watched a couple of YouTube videos. And so she'll need some more practice, I think. But for the most part, it's kind of nice to have a nice, clean coronavirus haircut. So some people are getting this figured out. But in the beginning, there were people that, I don't know if you remember seeing on CNN and all that, where all of the, everybody went to spring break down in Florida, right? And there's like all these kids and all these people running around, and nobody believed that this thing was doing anything major. There's been a lot of criticism, of course, on that and a lot of conversation politically, but there's, the thought comes to me is, what if everybody, like, I think we're kind of getting it, like it's actually a real thing. And I do know that there's like this little bubble here in Orange County for the most part, but we're starting to get the idea that this thing is real and it has impacted quite a few people. And it made me think the question, of course, it's actually a famous Francis Schaeffer book, I believe, How Then Shall We Live, right? How then do you live in a world that is greatly impacted? And if you believe that it was something, it changes, it orients your life for you. For some of us, we're doing this because we're told it's the right thing to do. But there's other people that actually believe that this virus could get them and do a great harm to them. I don't want it because I just don't want to be sick. I'm not totally afraid of dying in that sense, but golly, I hate being sick. And this does not look like a fun thing to be sick from. And so the more you believe, or the more that you're aware of the severity of the of this thing, especially if you have something that is maybe you're diabetic, or maybe you've got one of those that
make you hemophilia.
What's that? Oh, there's nobody sitting at the switches and levers at this other computer, so I just had to check to see if something went wrong there. But in any case, you are going to think differently. You're going to listen differently. You're going to pay attention differently if you think this thing is real. And I was thinking about how well we've gotten to know this doctor. I'm going to say his name wrong probably, but Fauci. And how much a lot of people are paying attention to what he says and what his advice is and what we should do and not do and how we should go about life. You pay attention to people like that. You focus in on them and you listen up pretty clearly. I don't know how many of you guys have heard of C.S. Lewis. Yes, probably most of you. Good. Yeah, a lot of hands going up there. Duh. Well, you probably have heard about his good infection analogy. He runs it through Mere Christianity. He introduces it early in the last part of the book, and he runs it all the way through. And there's this idea that as Christians, and this is one of the things that's so powerful about passing the peace, when we get together, we edify one another. And if we believe that that is something that impacts and does something to each other, that changes the way that we approach church and each other. So for example, if it's the good infection, I was thinking about it in relationship. If this coronavirus brought life to people, how would you live then? How would you interact with people then? You wouldn't be staying away from them. You would be coming closer to them, right? Like I was thinking even in the sense of just God on the mountain. He goes up to the mountain in Exodus, and he doesn't let anybody come near him. And like in my brain, I'm going automatically, he was already practicing social distancing, wasn't he? Well, then he sends Jesus to undo that and to do it completely opposite and infect us and get inside us and move in us in a way that where now life can happen in a world that is truly contaminated. I think it's called SIN-001. Would that be original sin? Original sin, SIN-001. So that virus is loose and it's out and it's killing everybody that's not got the right antibodies or the right medicine or the right infection or that good infection that C.S. Lewis talks about. Of course, that's the kingdom of God. Jesus comes and he starts out right at the very beginning. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want to make it really clear right now in this video message that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not waiting for the quarantine to be lifted. It's not coming later. We're not on pause. We're not holding out. God is not like, okay, well, we'll take a time out and a break, right? He is here, and he is working in you, and he's working in me. And he's called you, and he's called me to do something with this good infection. We are supposed to do something with it. Now, whether it's commune with him, get pruned, whatever God is calling you to do, it's happening right now, real time, in this moment. With that in mind, and if you believe that, you're going to live differently. You're going to be automatically brought into a situation where you're going to orient your life significantly different than if you just think it's a joke. It's just something out there. The spring break. Eat, drink, and be merry. for tomorrow you die. It's not really this religion thing, this kingdom of God isn't really, it's just sort of, it's trite. I go to church on Sunday, it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. No, there's something significantly different about the way we live our life if we believe that this thing is real, that this thing is alive. How big then are Fauci's words? Well, again, we have been in a series and we kind of got this little like interruption because now we can't meet in the building and so forth. And we've been kind of figuring all this out. We also had the interruption of Lent, which wasn't really an interruption, but it was, again, an opportunity for us to orient our hearts in a certain way. This thing is just another opportunity for that. But going all the way back to the beginning of the year, our theme for the year is let the kingdom in and live the kingdom out. And I want to encourage you that that hasn't changed. We're getting ready to go into a new series. Today's the beginning of it. We're starting. And it's the Sermon on the Mount. And our speaker is not Dr. Fauci. Our speaker is Jesus himself. And he is going to lay out for us the new culture, the new way that we have to live, the new thing that is in place so that we can spread this good infection. We can spread life to other people, each other, and out through the world. So what we're going to do is we're going to break up into our little groups here in a minute, and we're going to read a little bit leading up to the Sermon on the Mount. Now, what I was thinking and how I was kind of approaching this is if Dr. Fauci, you know, he's going to come up, you have a keynote speaker, a renowned person who's going to be telling you how you're supposed to do this, you're going to have somewhat of a resume for him. You're going to have an introduction. You're going to have some of maybe his body of work. And so we're going to kind of cruise over that really quickly. We're going to break up into our groups, and I'm going to assign each of you guys a passage from Matthew 1 all the way to Matthew 5. And you're just going to read it together in a group, and then you'll have one person you'll assign to summarize in like 1 minute what that part of the resume is for Jesus, like for our speaker, for who's going to tell us how we're going to live in this new life, in this new culture. So when you go into this breakout room, just as you get ready to go in, you're going to have the scripture written on the room, okay? So I had a hard time seeing it. If you touch your phone, you can kind of see it. If you have a computer, you can see it up at the top. But just before you go in, you'll see the scripture or the passage that you're supposed to read together in your small group. And then once you get that done, then or once you get in there, read it together, kind of share a little bit about, try and get, you know, like what's the resume, what's the gist of this? How is this leading to the credential for the speaker who's going to give us the update of the Sermon on the Mount? Is that clear? Okay. So if you have any problems, just, you know, chat to the host, and we'll do our best to make sure we get you connected. But we're going to go into our breakout rooms. Make sure you look at the, you know, as you're going into the room, look at the thing and what it's telling you. And there's some people that are not on video, so you're going to have to kind of look for them, tell them what the room is, and we'll do our best. If it doesn't work perfectly, it's okay. Pick a part in Matthew and just read it, okay? If it gets kind of screwy, but let's see what we can do here, okay? Here we go, church. When Wes is ready, we'll break into these little chat gaps. Chat.
Good deal. All right.
Good, we're all back. Maybe? Some? Is there...
Yep, we're all back.
Be back, Wes.
Yeah, you're good.
Deal. All right. Well, thanks for our little experiment. I'm not sure, but what would be really cool is if somebody could just share briefly what you're doing, in case you missed it, is you're introducing Jesus as the speaker by what you read. So whoever you assign to read or to introduce Jesus is just a quick, like, boom, this is why he's the guy. This is why we should listen to him. Like, if you were Fauci or whatever, you know, he's going to have all his credentials and he's going to have his resume and all that, and they're going to tell you why you should listen to him. And so if you have the first part, Matthew 1.
Hey.
Somebody from Matthew 1, want to give that a shot? See how this goes.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Go for it.
Okay. Jesus had to have the right pedigree to be the Messiah. He had to be in a certain line. He had to be the son of Jesse. He had to be the son of David. He had to be in the right line to be the Messiah. So he had the right pedigree. He had all the right ancestors. This is probably the going through Joseph, his stepfather. The one in Luke is believed to be Mary's pedigree, but they both go back to David.
Gotcha. That's perfect. So that's what the lineage, that's what it's basically doing. Thank you very much, Karen. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Who has that one real quick? I believe Robin's going to do that one.
To unmute. Unmute yourself, Robin. You know how to unmute yourself?
No, she does not. You want to do it?
There you go. You got it.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is from Matthew 1:18, and your speaker, Jesus, you need to sit up and listen because he is God. He was born of through this pedigree that Karen spoke of by the Holy Spirit. And he was told to be named Jesus, which means Emmanuel, which is God with us. So he's fulfilling prophecy, and he is God and coming in the form of man so that we can understand him. He's humbling himself so that we can, so we will listen. He's relating to us as humans to speak with us, so we should listen to him, because he was in the beginning with God when the universe was made, because he is God with us. So that's why you should sit up and listen to him.
Thank you, Robin. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. You'll have to unmute yourself, or somebody's going to,
Okay, hi. my name is Meg. Most of you don't know me. Anyway, I have Matthew 2 through 12, and it's the visit of the wise men. It sets up the whole, Herod wants to go worship him. Anyway, and then, and he sets three, charges three guys, we assume it's three guys, to go visit him. And then when they do, they give him the gifts because he's the Lord. He's the King of the Jews. How many babies do you know that are king? Anyway, and also the star in the east, that's significant as well. Mm. Things are indicators of who they were going to worship. And then also the genocide of babies. I can't remember the name, but anyway, hey, what a fun topic. It's that really underscores the importance of who this person was. So that's his credentials as well.
Thank you, Meg.
You're welcome.
Matthew 2:13 to 23.
In this section, Jesus's qualifications are that he fulfills three different Old Testament prophecies. And it's a weird interaction because there's angels involved that are moving them around. So they went to Egypt so the prophecy could be fulfilled out of Egypt. I called my son. And then there's another section is the massacre of the innocents. But that's prophetic. And then he was moved in the end of this section back to, where'd they go? To Galilee? Yeah. Galilee, and there was a prophecy related to that. He shall be called a Nazarene. So Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecies. So in that sense, he's trustworthy and the appropriate person to be listening to be our speaker.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Matthew 3, 1 through 12.
Morning, church. So this is where Jesus interacts with John the Baptist for the first time. And John even speaks of his unworthiness to baptize Christ. But Christ says for the fulfillment of prophecy, John the Baptist must baptize him. And so this is where he is proclaimed as coming forth, the one prophesied that history is spoken of, and he is here to cut from the vine all those who are not producing fruit. Mm-hmm. Yes, and the importance of baptism by water.
And there's one other huge part that I want to mention. I was going to put it later, but I'll just say it right now if it's cool. And that he gets a special introduction by God himself. Like, you know how when someone's going to be spoke and they're going to, you know, like they want to have, you know, a certain person, maybe if you're going to get put in the Hall of Fame or whatever, you're going to have somebody introduce you. I know that I've been a couple times where at Paul and Marnie's, the Holly Bells and stuff, and then there's always somebody that comes up and introduces. And every now and again, you know, I've gotten the honor to be able to be that person. There's something that, and this is what God does. He takes this moment where he has the honor to introduce the coming king, this speaker, this person with the good infection. Thank you, Chris. Perfect. Matthew 4, 1, right? Is that where we're at? Did I skip?
Skipped tonight.
Did you?
Matthew 13 through 17.
All right, go ahead.
Just to piggyback off what Brad said about God's introduction of Jesus in verse 17, that it is declaring that introduction of Jesus, of God saying that he is his beloved son and he is whom he is well pleased in, because he has that dual partnership with man and spirit, and again making that vow to be baptized as man, the same as man, but also being welcomed into the spirit as well, to do that. And all things need to be done through giving a sacrifice of your own life and being resurrected for the new body.
Cool. Thanks, Mariah. Now we're at Matthew 4, 1 through 11.
Cool. That would be our group. So that section is the temptation of Jesus. And so the key highlight there is you can trust Jesus and his authority and what he tells us to do, because he's done it himself. And he's done it out of a source or a place and of complete and utter confidence of his pedigree, his identity, where he's from. He knows who his father is. And that temptation in the wilderness is isolation, and it's cutting towards, or the devil tries to cut towards that identity. And so, and we see Jesus being able to succeed at each test, and not only succeed, but also rebuke. And so that's why we can trust him, because he's done it and we can do it too.
Thank you, Kevin. That's perfect. Thank you. Matthew 4, 12 to 17.
I think that was ours. What we noticed in this was just the authority and purpose that God speaks of. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So he speaks with authority and with purpose, that he came for a reason and for a purpose, and he's calling them to join them. And he calls them two by two, which was interesting. So there's no misinterpretation of what is being said. There's another person standing right next to you, hearing and seeing Jesus, and hearing the call to follow them. And so there's this almost I forgot what the word was, but right, there's no misinterpretation, and they're and they do it two by two. They accept the invitation and the authority of God that, or Jesus when he speaks, that they listen, and there's something about him that speaks with authority and with purpose.
Fantastic. Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah. I think we skipped over 12 through 17, Stephanie. Yeah.
12 through 17, do it. That's great.
So 12 through 17, Jesus has just finished battling the devil, breaking some legal claims maybe that the devil had using scripture to pursue him. And now Jesus has heard that John the Baptist has been arrested, who, by the way, was his cousin. And so he decided to leave Nazareth and move to Capernaum by the sea, which is basically like Newport Beach. Very prosperous, beautiful. But Capernaum was a fulfillment of what was written in Isaiah, that that the Son of Man would live in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And after that, Jesus began to start preaching, repent because the kingdom of heaven has now come near.
That's huge, right? That's the transition from John the Baptist proclaiming it to he himself saying, I'm here. And now we start moving into his body of work, which is what Stephanie had talked about, where then he goes and he starts recruiting the folks that will join him and he'll work with and start spreading that good infection with. Right. Cool? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Susan. 418, I think. 418? Nope, we just did that one. So it's now it's 423.
Yeah, Jesus is a healer. This is where he's healing the sick. Jesus is a healer. He's worth following because he's doing stuff for these people. He's also very popular because he's doing stuff for the people. Sure. He is holy. He's well-spoken. And he knows his audience. He knows what his audience is there for, and he knows what his audience needs at that time. He's also loving and forgiving in that situation.
Thank you, Danny. And the thing that I think of in that last part there is, I'm, you know, like as he's starting to move into his body of work, it's like almost like running a film up a you know, for people to kind of like, so, and you get the kind of the snapshots of him actually doing things out there. And then, you know, the intro, the great intro, is he's going to come and he's going to go up a mountain, if you see in chapter 5. And the immediate thing you're going to start to pay attention to as you kind of get this idea of who this guy is throughout history, you're going to picture a little bit of Moses going up into the mountain. And he's going to come into the mountain and he's going to now bring the crowd near him. And he's going to start to tell them how they're going to live this life out. My intro is pretty close or pretty similar to you guys'. It just connects the king, the outsiders see him, the outsiders know to worship him, and the star is supernatural and it brings everybody's attention to it. It, of course, goes into Egypt and it gives you some idea of the Exodus coming out, the prophet with Nazareth and with the prophetic from, you know, Nazareth, but also the prophet who's not even disguised. I mean, this guy comes right out of the pages of the Old Testament, this John the Baptist dude, and just comes waltzing into the scene. The announcement, as I broke into Chris's, which was really Mariah's, but this special trumpet, you know, da-da-da-da, this is the kingdom of God. It is at hand. And he gets a special introduction from the Father himself as he gets baptized. And also that special affirmation, and a lot of you guys know just that I love the Mark passage in that where God speaks to him personally, where in this passage here at Matthew, it says, this is my beloved son. It is a proclamation. It's an introduction in a sense. But in Mark, it says, you are my beloved son. And I just can't get past that, even though it's a little off track. But the truth is so beautiful in that it strengthens Jesus. And then he goes in and he starts stepping into that antivirus and spreading the good infection. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. And what gets to happen and what we just kind of got to witness here is we talk about, so we get to see about how this thing is going to happen. And we're going to get into that, right, as we go in next week. But each person that got to speak out and each of us, as we kind of dig into this, get to understand how that good infection can invade and begin to move across the land and start healing people and start becoming something that nobody expected. Everybody expected this guy to come in and overthrow the Romans and do all of the superpower stuff. And he goes, no, he flips everything upside down to where even God himself is introducing him. And it goes even further to say that he is calling a bunch of people, and his opening lines in chapter 5 is to sort of outline who are the ones that are going to carry the good infection. He starts to put the benediction on those that are going to carry it. And it's not the people you would expect. It's not the polished, the uppers, the people that have sort of the way figured out, the polished, the pretty, all of that, right? Like, it is ragtags. He says this. He brings them up to the mountain after he sat down with his disciples, and they came to him. They began to speak, and he taught them, saying, blessed are who? The poor in spirit. If you're feeling spiritually poor right now, guess what? You're a candidate to spread the good infection. Blessed are they who mourn. If you're somebody who is in mourning or struggling, guess what? You're a candidate to spread the good infection. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Are you hungry? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you will get what you were asking for, and that's righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We feel like we're being persecuted, but I promise we're not. Not like when this book was written, not the people that had to share this thing in the face of getting killed, thrown rocks at them, lions, etc. Blessed are those. When people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are lucky. You and I, we have won the lottery. Blessed, fortunate, lucky. We stand. If you fit the criteria of needing God, if you fit the criteria of not knowing how to do this, of feeling spiritually poor. I was thinking about when the Magi came in chapter 2. And Herod and all of Jerusalem was afraid. And I was just thinking about that in the sense of, you know, if you're at home and you're throwing a party and you hear that your dad's coming and he's on the way, that's going to put some fear in you, right? You're going to be a little bit like, oh my goodness. Or maybe you like running the show and you like being the head honcho and you hear the boss is coming back. That's kind of sad. It's kind of frustrating. You know, the old bumper sticker that says, you know, quick, look busy. Jesus is coming. Right? He's coming. And if you want him, you feel a different way. If you miss dad, if you miss what it's like to be pure, if you miss what it's like to be whole again, then your orientation to that is going to be totally different. If you believe that this good infection is something that can go out and transform people's lives, and that by you going and transforming their life, you also become more and more alive, more and more healthy, less and less dead, less and less infected by the sin virus, 001. Mm-hmm. You and I are the unlikely people. We get to be the Dr. Fauci's. We get to stand on the stage and tell people how this is going to be. We get to introduce the King of Kings. We get to talk about who he is, but we let it get into our hearts and it becomes a testimony or something that we turn around and give to other people. This week, I'd encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount. Spend some time with it. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, and I feel like it's kind of like when you walk into a company, it says the values on the wall, and it tells you what the culture's like, how it's going to be if you work at this company, what things you can expect, how it's going to work. And then, of course, if you were to read Romans 12, or Ephesians 4, that's actually what it looks like if it's actually lived out. So this is sort of our how do we live our life right now? What do we need to know? What's this good infection? How does it work? And so we're going to go through it over the next few weeks. But I encourage you to be honored, be excited, be blessed, be lucky. Be lucky because God is not waiting to infect you. In fact, he's here today meeting you, and he will meet you no matter where you're at. There's no waiting for the quarantine to be lifted. There's no waiting for this thing. It's happening now, and you get to have a part of it. And we encourage you to announce and introduce the King of Kings to people that need to know that there is a cure. Let's pray. God, it is an honor to be able to stand here and to yell at a screen, pronounce you, declare you. You and I know just who I am and what I'm made of. And yet you allow me to stand here and talk in your name, proclaim your holiness, proclaim your life, proclaim your resurrection, proclaim your beauty, your wonder, your power. I get to proclaim the fact that you look on people, no matter who we are, and you see us, and you resurrect us too, along with you. You infect us with your infection. Thank you, God. I want to be whole. Please, let's just declare his kingdom together, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Urgency of a kingdom now.